Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Just quieting down, baby.
Per capita export value.
Libraries. Minister, are you embarrassed by your behavior today?
There's a lot of bleeding hearts around.
Do you have the fortitude or the gonads to stand up and come across here and say that to me, you son of a bitch?
Just watch me.
He certainly went too far, Mr. Speaker, when I saw him stick his tongue out.
Contemptuous. Disregard.
More than a slab of bacon talking here.
The disappointment you also feel is my responsibility.
I lost my temper.
What is the nature of your thoughts?
The word was F-A-R-T.
Welcome to another terrifying adventure in Canadian Politics is Boring. My name is Jesse Harley, and with me is Reese, honey on his nipples, Waters. Reese, how you doing?
Hi. I'm good. I'm hoping to attract some bears. No luck yet.
With the honey on your nipples.
Yep. That's the purpose. That's I'd great. Imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why else would one do that?
So you told me earlier, Reese, that you had another bear adventure? Adventures of the bear in Reese's yard.
I never thought I'd say this, but there is so much bear activity so frequently, it is now boring and background noise to my life.
It's a great place to raise children. Yeah. Reese. It's great.
Well, just amongst the bears.
Just honestly, bear country, yeah.
My happy place is the forest, and living in the middle of the forest is amazing, and I'm willing to risk the chance of bumping into a bear if that means I get to live in my happy place.
So I don't know if anyone can hear the reverb coming from Reese's mic. He's in a closet at his house right now. For the past 2 years, he's been saying he's going to build a podcasting shed in his backyard.
I never said that.
You're just lying. You said it.
Well, we're not in the studio because Jesse's fled the city again, and we're now remote again. So,
this is my fault. It's my
the government agencies yeah. will get catching up on him, finding out the truth. And anyway, so
let's revert. Tell me the bear story. Since we're in the STD zone, this is the official STD zone. Small talk dimension zone, in case you guys are new.
Yeah. there's no real story there because it's just consistently eaten. The food waste. That's all the story is, really. But I would like to share some of the amazing speak pipes we had.
Yes, please. Speak pipe, for those of you who are new, is just a voicemail, basically. An anonymous voicemail. Yeah.
And if you want to leave us a SpeakPipe message, you go to speakpipe.com/Canadian politics is boring, and you can anonymously leave us a voice message for whatever you want to say to us.
You can tell us your name if you want. You can leave
you
it
can. It's up to you.
Choose. Yeah. it doesn't have to be anonymous.
Exactly. It's exactly. Like,
beep. Dicks. Beep. Like, you don't have to keep doing that, John. That's fine. You can stop that.
Yeah.
That's we get it.
We appreciate everything you're doing for us, but it's unnecessary. Just move on. So this first one is, remember I said about you getting a date? Well, somebody responded saying that they want a date with you.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
You ready?
I'm not going to be alone forever anymore. I mean.
Hey, Jesse. I'd love to go on a date with you. We could, get some drinks, go for a walk, have a chat or something. I don't know if you're like into guys or anything, but I'm not. I just, like listening to you and think it'd be fun to be friends.
Aww. Did they leave a name or an address or a way for me to contact them?
Nope.
What a tease. Oh my God.
I know.
So this guy, friendship. This guy wants to convert me to, what is it, gayism? But he's not
wants
gay.
To be a, but he, no, he doesn't he, want to, conv- he just wants to be a friend.
That's a friend. So he wants to take me on a friend date. Oh, that's nice. Oh, okay.
Just wants to become your friend.
He likes hearing the melodious sound of my voice. That's so nice.
I noticed that I wasn't invited, but.
They're a weird date, man. Come on.
Exactly. I hate to be a third wheel, but.
We'll hold hands on this friend date. If you can tell me a better way of exchanging proteins, I'd like to hear it.
Thank you, anonymous SpeakPipe sender. But if you do want to be friends with Jesse, you might need to leave another one with more details, which we won't play. And then the other message.
That was very nice.
This message worried me. It was it's essentially, I don't know how to explain how it happened, but it's a message from the future. Sent back in time to us, apparently. That's what the person who left it said. I'll play a few. I mean, it's quite concerning. It makes me question the very fabric of reality, but, who cares? I'll play it out.
Hello, this is Canada from the future, speaking to you through quantum computed retro communiques. You must cease all podcasting on the topic of Canada. Or risk opening a blank moment wormhole that will disassemble all known facts about the country. A podcast called Canadian Politics is Boring, that is in fact not boring, is a paradox that must not propagate. Putin will stand while Donair falls. Thank you for your time.
Did he say Putin stands or Poutine stands?
Poutine will stand while Donair falls. There must be a code there. That'd be a great tattoo.
So, wow. Okay. Well, that was terrifying. Let's hope that was...
Both of these messages make me think that we have some very funny, creative listeners. We're very lucky to have people send those messages.
Or a lonely guy who wants a friend and someone from the future. I mean, that's possible as well. Just saying. Yeah, like, come on, okay. Let's not discount the whole from the future thing, Reese. Jesus.
I mean, if I the different styles of voices, very talented voice, vocal range and voice artistry. I was impressed. Anyway.
So if you'd like to leave us a message, speakpipe.com/Canadian politics is boring, or just look in the show notes if Reese remembers to put a link there.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway. This is a low class operation, so don't expect anything from me. Right. So,
did you see the artwork for Manitoba Nights drawn for us on Twitter?
Did.
By the way,
I did. Somebody offering to be the voice of a talking car for a TV show called Manitoba Nights. It was good.
It was drawn by username Carrie Wears a Mask. Great name, by the way, on Twitter. I think they drew two of them, so you should go and check those out on our Twitter. It's a talking car, which
Twitter.
Yeah, I've given the role of the talking car, which apparently now we have a talking car in Manitoba Nights to Carrie Wears a Mask. So just like
nice.
Yeah.
Well, I like how random people on the internet are somehow invented and writing characters into a sitcom that we haven't bothered writing yet.
I'm getting to it, man.
So should we get on to the topic?
Yeah, let's do it. What do you got for me today?
So this is a story all about a woman named Mary Two Axe Early. Do you know anything about? Well, we've teased this episode a couple of episodes.
I've heard this title for a while now because we kept putting it off. Yeah,
I know. Another stuff came up.
Mary Two Acts Early.
Right. Mary Two Axe Early, not acts. As in, like, students are in plays that were made of two acts. She had the name is Two Axes, as in like a axe you would use to cut a tree down or chop off the head of an enemy.
Two Axes Early.
Two Axe Early. Mary Two Axe Early.
Okay, which one are you talking about? AXE or ACTS?
AXE.
Two Axe Early.
Yes, isn't it indigenous name?
Two Axe Early is her last name?
Yes. Well, her name was Mary Two Axe, and then she got married.
To someone named Early. Mr.
Yes,
Early.
Mr. Early.
You're fucking with me right now. This is...
Is this mind-blowing to you? It's just somebody's name.
Uh-huh. Well,
this is like this is the least amazing thing about this story, but we're onto a winner yet. So.
It's just kind of a cool name. All right, go ahead.
Okay, cool. So what should we call you? Jesse Three Chainsaws Harley?
Yes, please. That'd be great.
Okay, Jesse.
People ask me about it, and I'm like, just don't ask.
So she was born in 1911.
It's too sexual to talk about in this restaurant.
I don't even want to know you.
Three chainsaws. How you use?
I know what you're doing with those chainsaws. I don't want to know. Anyway, so she grew. She grew up on the Kahanaki Reserve, which is a farming community near the St. Lawrence River.
Try it again.
Montreal.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but try it again.
Kahanaki, I think it is pronounced, but I might be terribly wrong. Leave me a speak pipe. Corrected me sternly. In she was born in 1911.
With a lot of swear words, lot of swear words.
So. Growing up, she spent a lot of time with her mother, who was a teacher, a healer, and a nurse, and she was responsible for caring for a lot of vulnerable members in the community. And sadly, because of her role looking after the most vulnerable in the community, she contracted and died of Spanish flu and the epidemic that came out after
How old was she when she passed?
I don't know how old her mother was, but Mary was only 10.
When her mother passed?
Yes, okay. Yeah.
That's very sad.
Yeah, it was very sad. So she kind of grew up.
Probably means her mother was quite young then, yeah.
Yeah, I don't imagine her mother would have been like over 40 or anything. So, and at the time, where she lived and the opportunities in front of her, there weren't many. So she lived, you know, on a reserve in Canada.
Where was this?
In Montreal. Okay. Or near Montreal's South Shore. And obviously Montreal was probably, there was a lot more rural, a lot smaller city then. So like apparently a lot of people at the time would leave for wherever there was work. So she ended up at the age of 18 settling in Brooklyn in New York. And in Brooklyn, New York, there was a Mohawk community that was really central to the steel and iron industries during like the boom in the 1920s. So, you know, like when they were building like the Empire State Building, there was a lot of indigenous communities that had emigrated there for work and were involved in the construction of the New York skyline.
Okay, that's cool.
So she went there going, hey, there's no opportunities here. You know, I've lost my mother. I want to get out in the world. And so she went there and she married someone called Edward Early, which is where you get the name. And he was an electrical engineer of Irish-American origin.
Of Irish-American? Okay, cool.
So she settled in New York, built a new life. New York was booming, the swinging 20s, or whatever you want to call it. Everyone was constantly dancing in black and white and hanging off the side of cars with Tommy guns. It was a good time.
There was some videos going around. I think it was just one video by Vsauce on YouTube, which I admittedly didn't watch. I'm getting this from my friend who did watch it. So then they talk about how people seem to have been older looking back in the day, and we don't know why. Like, why do people seem like they're not aging as much these days?
It's because you started work when you were 10.
And you smoked and drank like it was going out of style forever. And
there was a video on Reddit of a 3-year-old chimney sweep working with his dad, just walking down the street carrying a ladder, 3 years old.
I mean, that's why you have children. That's for the.
I know, but his body language is like that of a 50-year-old man. It was crazy.
Anyway. Not a 50-year-old man today. Yeah. Paul Rudd's 51. Did he have the body language of Paul Rudd, Reese? Did he?
No, he didn't. But Paul Rudd's immortal. He drinks the blood of virgins, and
he's a baby eater.
is a baby doll, so, which is why you'll be able to make 12 Ant-Man movies.
I can't wait for Ant Elder. That's going to be great. Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, so obviously, she, you know, happy story. She had two kids then with Edward. Amazing story. You know, she went from like a rural setting.
She had how many kids?
Two kids.
Oh, I thought you said 12. I just kind of glossed over that for a second. I'm like, what did he say?
Rosemary and Edward, named after his dad.
I thought you just kind of glossed over too. She's like, she had 12 kids and then she went on to do, I'm like, hold on, what? No, so I'm just literally not listening and then making a joke of the fact that I'm, okay, anyway, please continue. I'm paying attention.
But moving to New York.
Eyes wide, ears open. Boy.
Keep spreading your cheeks. Good to go. Yeah.
Hold on, I got to write that down for my Tinder profile. That's good.
So.
Spreading my cheeks.
You're actually writing that down. Well done. Congratulations. Anyway.
Every little thing helps here. So.
As you can imagine, she left, built a new life in America, but what, that had an effect on her Canadian life, or kind of
the fact that she wasn't living in Canada had an effect on her Canadian life. No, I imagine.
No. But she. So she was.
You can only imagine what my Irish life is like right now. Like
I know. Well, no, but you can. But she was Indigenous, so she lost her status under the Indian Act.
Being all serious and political.
Because basically what it meant was if an Indigenous woman who had status under the kind of the treaty rights married outside of that community, so married someone who wasn't Indigenous, it meant they lost all rights to their status as an Indigenous person under the law.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So what it meant was that.
So it didn't matter that she left Canada. It just mattered that she married someone who wasn't Indigenous.
Yeah, she'd married somebody Indigenous or someone who was also status in New York. She would still have had it, but because she married an Irish American, she lost that status. But that only applied to women. That didn't apply to men.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Forgive my continual nonstop ignorance, but what does native status, what did it mean back then? Like, what did that, what was taken away from her when that was taken away from her? Forgive my ignorance. That's my job.
Yeah. I'm not going to forgive your ignorance because it's entertaining. It restricted you from doing a bunch of stuff. It was obviously discriminatory to a certain extent, but it also severed, by losing your status, what it essentially did was sever your connection with your community on reserve, if you see what I mean. It meant that there was you weren't allowed to have property, or you weren't allowed
according to the Canadian government, or according to each like reserve,
according to the law and the laws of like that were imposed on that reserve. They lived under it and they had to operate under it. So someone who under the Indian Act had status could pass it down to their wives and children, but women couldn't pass it down to their children. And also it would be inherited, so it had to become inherited from a father, and then it would go to their husbands and the woman would adopt the status of the husband and live with the husband's band. And if the husbands were not status, they would lose their status entirely. So it was, I don't understand the lore of it. There's things like under section 12-1-B, women who sought divorces from status husbands would also have their status revoked. And the only way a woman might regain her status was to remarry a status man. Therefore, status was determined by the male lineage.
Okay. I mean, all right. It's just amazing administrative paperwork you're reading here, Reese. This is crazy.
No, but basically meant it was
it's like, sad and all, but like, you know, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
if you call this one of our most mind blowing episodes we've ever done.
No, but the stories are about Mary. It's not about the paperwork. So
okay, thank God.
So Mary, like, was, you know, busy living her life, and as she got a little bit older, one of her friends, she considered a clan sister, died in her arms of a heart attack. And she genuinely thought it was due to the stress of the fact that her friend had been denied property rights in the community she grew up in because she'd lost her status. So she basically became like an activist. Like today the equivalent would be,
cool.
Okay. Someone would set up like a Twitter account and just start shouting at people on Twitter, but she did it the old fashioned way, where she rolled her sleeves up and notice she started
speaking
and writing campaigns to kind of raise the profile of the abuses, just basically to say women don't have equal treatment under the law, and we're very reliant on men and husbands for our right to kind of operate as you would like us to under the law, which is obviously crazy. Mm-hmm. So in 1975, she accompanied 60 other women from the Kawanahi Nation to the International Women's Year Conference in Mexico City, which I don't know a lot about it, but I guess in the 1970s, there was probably a lot to talk about in terms of... still a lot going on to deal with. The list has only got
where do we start? Okay. Yeah, we're only here for a weekend, ladies.
How do we solve all these problems? The list has got slightly shorter in the last 50 years, but only marginally. And they added some new things too. So while at the conference, the Kawanagi Band Council rung them up at the conference to say, hey, just so you know, while you're at the conference, we've evicted you all from the land.
What? Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
So they're basically like, hey, you didn't have the right to own any land. So while you're there down in Mexico City in the sun, you've got nowhere to go back to. So,
wow. This is the Canadian government did this.
No, this would be the band council of the reserve she was from.
The band council?
Yeah, the kind of council that, you know, the indigenous council that run that reserve.
Oh, it was the reserve itself that...
Yes, it was. Them.
Oh, wow, yes. That's... Why?
Well,
you think they'd be against all these laws, as, like, along with her?
I guess it was sexism, misogyny. I guess it's still the same.
I suppose that stuff exists, doesn't it? Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So
this is a super funny topic, Reese. I'm going to enter. Hold on.
What are you going to do?
Drink a coffee here. Hold on.
There we go.
Brought to you by Folgers Dark Roast. Are you tired?
They're not paying us.
No, they're not. Sorry. Fuck you, Folgers.
Yeah. Yeah, tastes like armpit shit. Anyway.
Until you pay us, Folgers, your coffee tastes like armpit shit. It's exactly. Like someone ate someone else's armpit and then shit that armpit out and then roasted it into a coffee and then drank it.
Armpit flakes.
Folgers.
Folgers. Armpit flakes for you.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway.
Whenever our podcast gets too depressing or boring, we interject it with some toilet humor. It's great. This is our show. You're welcome.
So I mean, Mary is not boring because she was an incredible strategist. And she, where they just made that phone call to let them know that they were evicting them, obviously because they were rattling too many cages, she then shared that information. I've just got off a call with an international forum, and it meant there was international media coverage of the issue.
Right.
And because of that, they withdrew the eviction orders. And in 1985...
Because she what, notified the press?
No, because she announced that it was their turn to talk at this conference, and she basically changed the whole thing they were going to talk about and was like, hey, we've come here to talk about this, and while we were here, they did this to us.
And and so word of mouth spread, and that caused
like a big stir at the, right. the forum, like breaking news.
Kind of brilliant, honestly.
I know, it was amazing. So they withdrew the eviction orders.
Although, why'd she want to go back to a place that just like collectively agreed to evict her and then last minute revoked that? Would you want to go back to a place with people who genuinely don't want you to be there? I don't think I'd want to be there.
You complain about Halifax all the time and you still live there.
I'm getting the fuck out of here soon. Don't worry. Yeah,
but you know,
I love you, Halifax. Love you so much. You're great.
is where her parents are from. Is where she grew up. Is where all her family is. Just because True. Of the decisions of some people in power doesn't mean she's just going to.
So it wasn't everybody. Okay, it wasn't like a
no exactly.
Vote.
There was a community she was a part of that weren't like in control of that. So and then 10 years later they changed it. In 1985 they updated it so that Indigenous women had equal status. 1985.
That sounds about right for the Canadian government.
A year after
speed.
I was born.
Yeah, well, just like, you know, the speed at which the Canadian government works. Honestly, the 10 years is really, really kind of fast. That's impressive. Good on you. Pat on the back, Canadian government. There you go.
So after she got married in the 1920s, and on July the 5th, 1985, Mary, at a ceremony in Toronto, was given her status back. 65 years later, and she said, now I have legal rights again. After all these years, I'll be legally entitled to live on the reserve, to own property, to die, and to be buried with my own people.
And then they bulldozed it to dig up for oil. The end.
I am at the end. Don't take away from what Mary did.
No, I'm just showing love for the oil companies. That's all.
There we go.
So much love.
She changed the legislation so it was possible for 16,000 First Nations women and 46,000 descendants to regain their lost status. 2,000 women were able to return to the Kaawanaki Reserve where she lived and grew up, and completely changed the dynamic of power within the community.
That's amazing. I'm sorry, I'm holding back laughter. I'm trying not to think of... Because, like, I didn't know it was Mary to Acts, A-X-E, early. I thought it was Mary to Acts, A-C-T-S, early. Like, she was, like, she was an actor in the theater, but she was always known for, like, coming out on the stage two acts early. Like, fuck, here she comes again. It's the wrong goddamn scene.
Out of your head.
Just, like, every play. Oh, God, here comes Mary two acts early. Like, a pox on nine houses. Fuck, no, it's the wrong
Mary,
goddamn
you're not, you're supposed to be. You're not supposed to be a till third act crisis. What are you doing?
every play, so much. Just, but specifically, two acts early. Just...
Anyway, but not to diminish her achievements in her life. Thanks, Jesse.
That's what I do.
But anyway, so that was Mary Two Acts Early.
Sorry. She should really just get out of the theater. I'm just saying.
Just stick to activism.
Just not for you, Mary. Okay.
Yeah. Although one thing I did find really interesting was I didn't realize how much Indigenous people played a part in building New York.
Yeah, that's kind of neat.
It makes me wonder how many other cities were built by Indigenous people too. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
So that was the story.
That was interesting. I wouldn't call it mind-blowing.
I like Mary's life and story.
I liked it too. It was good. It was nice activism. Nice little warm your heart activism story. Nice. There you go.
Yeah. I lost.
I mean, we can't all be winners, Reese. I get it. Not every single one of our episodes can be fucking bangers. You know, we can't all have be.
So,
like,
so basically, no. She
we can't all be like the government build a Gaydar, which is one of my favorite episodes.
What if I told you the whole time all those people we just talked about the whole time they were drunk? Does that make it better?
I mean, yeah, a little bit. Is that true?
Like, no.
just
But apparently that's how you measure whether something is valid to talk about.
No, the Gator. The government built a Gator. Nobody was drunk during that one. That was insane.
Everybody was drunk. Everybody must have been.
There's no excuse.
There's no excuse.
I mean, you know, over 200 episodes later, 2 years into this, and you're still finding interesting shit. So I'll give it to you. That's fine. That was a good one. That was fine.
That was interesting. Did you know that Indigenous women didn't have equal status until the 80s?
I didn't know. But I don't come to this podcast to learn shit, Reese. Jesus.
You're supposed to. You're supposed to. Dick joke, dick joke, dick joke, fact, dick joke. That's how it works.
That's our formula.
That's the formula. Our secret formula to success. If you walk away and you just know that, then
that's secret formula. Dick joke, dick joke, dick joke, fact, dick joke.
There we go.
Profit. Yeah, that's
just is the all of the comedy history podcasts use the same formula. I don't want to give it away.
No, it's great. It's good.
Yeah, there we go. Cool. Okay. So, if anybody else wants to leave a fun speak pipe, then be our guest. Be our guest. Be our guest.
Come on. Are those the only words? I don't know them either, so it's okay. You've got kids, though, so what's your excuse?
For what?
Just not knowing the Disney lyrics for Beauty and the Beast.
Be my guest. Be my guest.
Our guest.
Come and circle on my breasts.
Yeah, that's how it goes. I was quite surprised as a child watching Beauty and the Beast when that song came out, let me tell you. But like, Disney knows best. So.
Yeah, that candlestick was very welcoming. Anyway.
What's the call to action today, Reese?
I know, go and watch Disney or something.
Go and watch Disney or something. There you go.
Yeah.
That's your homework, folks.
Yeah. That's how you promote a podcast. Anyway, bye, everyone.
That's it.
We're done.
Oh, well. Okay. I mean, can you tell me a ghost story real quick before we go?
What kind of ghost story?
A scary one.
Okay,
you gotta put music to it.
Okay, I can't do that now, but I can. This story, like,
this is a podcast, Reese. I'm fairly certain you don't have to keep saying I can't do that right now. Like, people understand that you don't have magical music and sound effects abilities that just pop out at a snap of a, like, they know that you edit the show. That's fine.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so let's get started. This story is called The Bus Conductor's Revenge.
Are you making this all up?
Yeah. So once upon a time, there was a man called Kevin. He was 38 and he lived in High Wycombe, just outside of London in the UK.
Okay.
And Kevin, I think that's the name I just said. Kevin was...
How old was Kevin?
38. High Wycombe, just outside London. So Kevin, who was 38 from High Wycombe, just outside London, worked as a bus conductor. He kind of covered the shift for Dale, and Dale wasn't very good at his job. He was one of those people who was just treading water, always about to lose his job. He was top of the list if ever they had cutbacks. And Dale hadn't turned up because he'd got his head stuck in some kind of blender. And Kevin,
what? Jesus!
Kevin had to do the late shift, so the bus was empty. There was nobody on board the bus. So they were doing the rounds. They were driving through the quiet, dark streets of High Wycombe, just outside London. 30-year-old Kevin, covering the shift of Dale, and he realized that there was somebody on the bus with him, even though no one had bought a ticket.
Okay.
So.
I could just picture like a bus driver with a bus full of people turning around, going, "Oh my god!" at all the people that he let on the bus that he forgot he let on the bus. Yeah, right.
Just a huddled shape, huddled over, with a thick coat and a dark hood, so you couldn't see their face.
Okay.
So Kevin walked over and was like, "Excuse me."
He just did he stop the bus?
No, he's the conductor. He's not the driver.
Oh,
the conductor.
What's a conductor?
Walks around the bus, making sure everyone's got tickets, and the driver drives.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought the conductor was also the driver. Like I thought he just like took a brick out of his pocket and called him put it on the pedal, and then got up and went over and asked him if he got a ticket.
No, no, exactly. Like speed, cruise control. So Dennis Hopper was there, and Keanu Reeves.
Okay, so he gets up, and he doesn't get up, but he walks over.
So he walks over, and he says, "Excuse me, have you got a ticket?" And they ignore him. So he asks again and again and again, and eventually, then he goes to put his hand on their shoulder, and they look up at him, and it's him. Kevin recognizes it's him, except he's aged horribly, and his blue eyes, the pupils are yellow. And Kevin says to himself, "I forgot my ticket, sorry." And that's the end.
That was great. So this gives me an idea, Reese. It's September. Okay, summer's almost over, and that means we are on a fast countdown to Halloween. Okay, I say that at the end of every episode until Halloween, we do a ghost story. And if one of our listeners wants to write us at CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com and tell us a ghost story, whether it be fictional or real, we will read it at the end of one of our episodes. And if we cool. And if we don't get one, Reese makes it up. How does that sound to you, Reese?
It's a lot of pressure on me, but I know.
I'm gonna keep pressuring you because that was a good story. I like it. Really? Yeah, it was great. I liked it.
Good. Okay, good. Well, let's go now.
Okay, so that's your call to action. Send us a ghost story for us to read on the
Disney
air with sound effects.
Or
watch Disney, that's fine too, okay? Bye, everyone!
Bye!
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.